We are going to open with the Christmas carol, We Three Kings.
Forgiveness. promise. So I only need to trust that you mean what you say. I only need to tell you and me have your way. I only need to give you the pieces I hold on to that I was never meant to keep. You don't hesitate to find me when I'm at my worst, and you meet me in the middle where I'm insecure. You only need to tell me who you see when you look at me, that I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King.
Thank you so much. Okay, for today's scripture, we are jumping back from Luke, back to Matthew, and we are in chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It is a wonderful story, and it is deep and rich in details. Some of the things that happen when you're a pastor is you end up on mailings and groups, and one of the things is the wise men are in Matthew. The shepherds are in Luke. And people are amazed to find out that they're not together. Not only are they not together in the book, but they're actually not together. The wise men come late to the party. One of the great controversies is Well, when the shepherds see the baby Jesus, he's in the stable. But when you're reading Matthew, it says, on entering the house. So what was it? Was it a stable or was it a house? The answer is yes. So the shepherds visited the baby in the stable, the wise men in a house. Why is that? Well, one of the things that we don't understand is one of the horrible controversies of the entire Christmas story is that the baby Jesus is born in a stable. Because that means shame on everybody who knew that there was a woman about to give birth in a stable, and none of them showed them hospitality. Hospitality is prime in the Mideast culture. There's a wonderful Christmas story that's told that they have the kids act out the entire nativity scene. And all the kids have their part, and one of the kids is an innkeeper. And he has one line. I'm sorry, there's no room in the inn. But as he looks out at all the people, and he looks out at the baby Jesus and about to be born, and Mary is great with child, he says, there's no room in the inn, but you can have my room. And in that statement is a wonderful understanding of what the Mideast mindset was. Somebody should have given up their room to him. And one of the reasons that the gospel has trouble in the Middle East is this whole idea that nobody offered him hospitality. They said there were that many people and nobody offered him hospitality. But I'm going to do it once again. If you haven't seen The Chosen, you really should take a look at it. Because it really does provide a possible outcome. Is there were so many people pressing so tightly, is it possible that one couple became ignored? Yes. If she was great with child and she was going to be giving birth in a couple hours and they missed finding her a place, she could have given birth before they realized what was happening. But when they did, somebody would have offered space. Hence, when the wise men get there, she's in a house. So there's a order of events that makes sense if you slow down and take it simple. But the other thing that I want to point out is this telling of the story by Matthew gives us pieces of a puzzle that we can put together in retrospect. The first is, it's all just a story written by the disciples to explain their movement and who Jesus was, except for some very important pieces. King Herod wasn't part of their team. King Herod was on the outside looking in. When the decree went out from Caesar Augustus did not ask for guidance or an understanding from the Jewish people before he called for the census to be taken. So as we look back in history, we can see, there was a census taken about 4 BC. Astronomers tell us there was an astronomic event at about the same time, planets coming together. One that would have been so spectacular, everybody would have seen it. And the funny thing is I was listening to an astronomy lecture, and they said, as planets and stars converge, they seem to stop. Because as they come together, there's this moment where their lights converge. And as their lights converge, their cycle seems to stop and hold in the sky. And then there's a really tragic third piece of history. When Herod realizes that the wise men did not come back, he orders the killing of the babies. Again, it's a government order. It's not a Jewish thing. And we know that in the 3 to 2 BC time, the babies are slaughtered. So as the pieces coalesce and coincide, we know the basic timeline for the birth of Jesus. And we know when Mary and Joseph and Jesus must have headed to Egypt. The gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh obviously come from the gospel, the prophet's predictions. And as the prophets foretold in Isaiah 60, the gold and the frankincense came. The myrrh was a gift foreshadowing his death. If you have eyes to see, you see things differently. As you look for the pieces to coincide, they pull together a story. What I'm struck is I'm wondering how long these wise men had been watching, how long they had been looking. One of my very favorite stories is the prodigal son. And one of the things that dawned on me over time is when the father is looking out, he says, while the son was a long way off, he saw him and he ran to him. Well, the only way that he could have seen him a long way off is he must have been looking out that window every day, waiting for him to come back. I think these wise men had been looking for years for something to intercede, something to come, something to be in the midst of them. And they had been watching and watching and watching. Are you watching? Are you searching? When I was a little boy, I used to watch a show called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every year. And little Yukon Cornelius was always searching for silver and gold. In 1987, U2 put out a song called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Another 20 years in the future, a group called Poison was a rock band that hit big with a ballad called Something to Believe In. The common thread through history might be this idea of searching for something to believe in, even if you still haven't found what you're looking for. But the vigilance that the wise men showed might be a beacon of hope for us. Because I think what happens is we tend to see what we're looking for. If you look for negatives, you find negatives. If you look for conflict, you can find it. But if you look for glimmers of hope and of peace, you find them as well. As we turn the page into 2022, I'm going to just flip back pre-COVID for a minute. Did you know that 2019 was the most prosperous year in history? I'm not talking about billionaires becoming multi-billionaires. I'm talking about there were fewer people living in poverty than any time in the history of the world. Bigger percentage of the people were living above the poverty line in 2019 than any year in history. Did you know that the United Methodist Church has more members today than it's ever had in its history? We are the biggest we've ever been today. There are more Christians in the world today than there have ever been in the history of the world. How often have you heard these stories shared? It's not what people are looking for. It doesn't fit the paradigm. It doesn't make sense, so it doesn't get dwelt on. We dwell on the things that make us fearful and sad. But the good news that I have for you today is that what Bono was looking for in 1987, what Poison was looking for in 2001, we have. What are they looking for? They're looking for hope that will not fail them. They're looking for a friend that will never desert them. They're looking for something that shows that there is justice in this world. They're looking for something that will give them strength when they don't have any. They're looking for something that will give their life meaning. And the funny thing is the first thing they dismiss is the answer to their question. What could going to church possibly give me? Not much that you can see, but everything you're actually looking for. As G.K. Chesterton once said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found empty or wanting, but it's that it's been proven to be difficult and therefore has been left untried. The inspiration to us are these wise men from the East who probably did not say, well, we need some hope. Let's look up in the sky and see if we see anything. Oh, look, a star. Let's go follow that. Now, I have a feeling that they had been looking for a long time. They had been studying and they had been wondering, and they said, when is this finally going to happen? And when it happened, they said, let's go. That thing that we've been waiting for so long has finally happened. Let's go and see. So, today, are you looking? If so, what are you looking for? Are you looking at the headlines and looking for more darkness and more violence? Or are you looking in the sky? Are you looking at the sunrise? Are you looking at the stars? Are you looking at the one that brings the hope? Let's pray. Lord, forgive us if we look at the distractions rather than the answers. Forgive us when we let the clatter and the noise of this world drive out the peace. Help us to see and understand. That you have the answers and you are the answers. And in the face of problems and troubles, in the face of darkness, you're the light. Help us not focus on the distractions, but instead turn to you, just like the wise men did.